Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. I am your host, Chris Seveny. In today's episode, what you need to know about note investing and passive income. I'm going to kind of rewind the clock, as I've been in this business for about 8 years, and sometimes you take a lot of things for granted. So I want to kind of rewind and go back and let people know, talk more about what is note investing, why passive investors love this strategy, and talk more about this as a passive investing strategy, because it's something that over the next, I think, 24 to 36 months is a potential option for a lot of investors, especially real estate investors, who just realize the pricing of property is just way too expensive. Interest rates are just screaming high, and you're running numbers on these assets, and it makes zero sense. And if they're not cash flowing and you're not going to get appreciation over the next few years, why invest in traditional real estate? If you can invest and be the lender and get 8 to 10% on, call it $100,000, and get 8 to 10,000 a year over the next several years, and have that liquidity where you can pull up, you know, take that money out when the market seems to be in a better situation, why not consider it? So I want to talk about into what note investing is, because I think, again, it goes back to it's an unknown that people don't understand. So let's dive in. Let's first start with, what is note investing? We've shared this a lot on prior videos. Investing in mortgage notes means you're buying debt that's secured by real estate. It's really what it is. And for anyone who's ever owned a house, I didn't realize this when I first bought my first house, or maybe I didn't, just didn't think about it. You actually sign two documents. You sign a note, which is an IOU that says, I'm going to give you $100,000 back over 30 years at this percent interest rate. And the other is the actual mortgage or deed of trust that secures that loan to that asset. So that's something that is what gives that security. And I share that because I'm just going to start right off the bat. I know people who lend others money and they don't get that second component. They'll give somebody $100,000 and the person's like, yeah, I'm going to go renovate this property, but they never tie it to an asset. They never get that mortgage. And then when things go bad, they're like, hey, I gave this person $100,000 to go renovate that property. That property is already sold or gone, and they never securitized it against that property. So it's always extremely important to understand that security component is an additional step you need to do. Now, it's a little bit about note investing. Why do people love it? And, you know, maybe love's a little too strong of a phrase, but it is typically something where you can get consistent cash flow potential. Meaning people pay their mortgage on a monthly basis. And typically, it's not influenced by the stock market. It's not influenced by home prices. It's really influenced by the person's ability to pay that loan. And what impacts most people's ability? Unknown expenses and unknown loss of income. And for the most part, most people, unemployment's what? 4%. So 96% of people, you know, have a job. Expenses sometimes can hit, but also gives you flexibility to work with them. The other reason why I got involved in note investing, and I'll share this story, I've shared this story 1,000 times, is the time and when and where you can do this and lack of headache. So I'll jump back more than a decade ago. My wife and I were buying rentals in the Washington, D.C. area. Great time to buy rentals, by the way. We were doing the BRRRR strategy, buying them, rehabbing them, getting all fixed up. And after the second one, between my wife having experience in finance and knowing about construction and my background in construction management, we're managing these projects. And after like the second or third one, she's like, this is too much. We can't do this anymore. You know, we have kids, they're young, we've got too much going on, like, find something else. And I scoured the internet and I kind of stumbled upon note investing. Now I wanted to be more active and get on the non-performing side, but I did not realize that there was this whole secondary market of mortgage loans that you could buy, especially coming out of 2008 to 2012, where there's a lot of contract for deeds, seller financing loans, that people had a mortgage, they gave the property back to the lender, kept it in their name so they didn't have to foreclose again, and wrote a lot of these loans that were $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 loans. So the barrier to entry was pretty low. But the most important thing that I found relevant to me was you could do this anywhere at any time, meaning you could do note investing at 10 o'clock at night. Now, you didn't have to get an email that says you gotta be at this property by 1 o'clock. You get a list of assets. They're like, okay, bid by next Friday. And you could spend, you could do it from anywhere. You did not have to be boots on the ground. Fast forward to today, where the world is, you could do your job from pretty much anywhere, remote work. Note investing was remote work before remote work was a thing, the best way to look at it, because you could do it from anywhere. And you could send somebody by the property to take a look at it. So that's why I think a lot of people really enjoy getting involved in note investing. Now, before we dive too much deeper, you know, first 5 minutes at best, so talking about other things, I've made the terms performing and non-performing, and I mentioned that briefly on this. I just want to stipulate, performing is what you'd think. Somebody's just paying their mortgage. Non-performing means they haven't paid. Now, most people think non-performing is you miss one payment. That's not the case. Non-performing is typically 3 to 4 months behind, but I'll say the average loan that we see a lot of times non-performing is years behind. So a lot of people think that you miss a payment, the bank police are going to come knocking on your door and trying to evict you and throw you out. That's not the case. Banks sometimes struggle with managing their defaulted loans, and there are policies, procedures, and regulations in place that dictate how long it has to be. But I just want people to realize non-performing isn't like 1 month. It's typically 4+ months behind. So now I want to dive into, again, briefly touched upon it, but really focus on why note investing is, I believe, a great passive investment strategy. It goes, boils down to, you know, that passive income potential. You get that monthly cash flow without being the landlord. You know, we joke, there's no tenants, toilets, termites. If a toilet breaks, you're not getting a call. You know, if you own a house, have you ever called your lender and said, come fix my toilet, come fix my roof? No. Now, the other is you also have a servicing company, which acts like a property manager, who also collects those payments. So as a note investor, if you have a strong performing loan, especially one where the borrower might be on ACH, you just have to check it once a month. You know, think about it. You know, you have a mortgage. When do you pay? You know, you pay if it's the first. Okay, maybe I pay the 29th, 30th, or the first. You know, you pay on that day. So as the person who owns the loan, you just check once a month. You know, did they pay? Did they not pay? So still want to say it's 100% passive, but it's absolutely more passive than being a landlord. And as I kind of mentioned, it's more hands-off. You know, these loan servicers handle all the collections. They handle all the reach out. They handle making sure there's insurance on the property. They handle updating the payments when taxes or insurance go up. Loan servicers act as that property, again, owning real estate, that property manager. What's even great is they hire all the tax forms. They do the 1099s, the 1098s. They do everything. If the borrower is refinancing, they will handle basically letting you know what their total amount owed is. Now, they'll come to you and say, hey, can you confirm this amount? Because they have to, but they handle all of that. And that's what they're experienced in. And for those getting in the space, you definitely want to use a servicer because there are so many laws and regulations around having licenses be able to do this. So it's something that you definitely want to make sure you have. But again, pretty hands off. The other is if it's done right, again, that collateral backed security where you're securing it to that real estate. Now, I caution people who do loans against land or mobile homes. Now, mobile homes really is more personal property than real property. So it's like a car, which could get wiped out in bankruptcy. Land, you know, it's not going anywhere. But land is much more illiquid than a house. So part of that collateral backed security, you know, we like to do it against homes, but there's other options to do it against. It's better than doing it against nothing. Now, one of the things I'll mention too about the collateral back is you want to be in first position. And what does that mean? You want to be first in line. I see people doing loans right now for earnest money deposits. I do see people doing seconds or 100% or 105% financing. That's not secured. You know, it's called, I think, gator lending is a phrase that's out there where, you know, it's short-term financing to people. They had 100% plus. But what if that property doesn't appreciate? If they had to sell it tomorrow, they're paying a realtor and they're paying all the costs. Where's that money coming from? To me, that's what are the pawn shop loans or whatever it's called, really, that people are giving. And yeah, you might on paper look at 25% returns, but you're either going to win or lose everything. You know, if you're backing it by real estate in a first position, going up to 50, 75% LTV, chances of losing everything are very hard unless you make a major mistake. The other reason why I think no investing is a great passive income investment strategy is the flexibility. You can customize investments to fit your goals. You know, you can be diverse in regards to how many notes you want to do, what states you want to do, the type of properties you want to do. I view it as being very flexible. And unlike owning property in a certain area, meaning, okay, I got to find a new property manager, I got to find this, you know, the services are national. And yeah, you have to do a little bit more research on certain areas, but you're getting a loan that's at 40 to 50% LTV. You know, I don't think we've ever seen a 50% market crash. So you need to know about the area, but you don't need to know every single little detail and fact. So maybe I convinced you that, wow, this is actually pretty good strategy. So if you're getting started, what do you need to know? Well, you can get involved in note investing for thousands of dollars. When I got started, you know, it was under $25,000. Get started. And the reason why is because loans on properties don't always match a property value. You can find a $50,000 loan on a $500,000 property. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you. The other option is you can invest in a fund like our 7E. My company, we have a Regulation A offering open to accredited and non-accredited investors. That starts at $5,000. So you can get involved in passive investing for $5,000. And we provide case studies, stories, webinars. You know, we provide tons of content and education, where not only can you learn more about note investing, but you can also learn about what to look for when you're investing in a fund, or maybe there's things you don't like about what we do. But it gives you that flexibility and diversity, because no matter what you hear from me, the one thing that I preach upon, because I'm an investor as well, is diversify your portfolio. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I will repeat that 10,000 times, because it pains me to see people take $100,000, put it in one syndication, and it goes bad and say they lost everything. I saw a post the other day in a forum group where someone invested in a Regulation A offering. And when you're non-accredited, you're only supposed to put 10% of your net worth without your primary residence. And it's not the sponsor's responsibility to check that. You were self-certifying as the investor. And the person said, yeah, I put a lot more than my 10% in. I lost everything. Can I go back after the sponsor? Unfortunately, the answer is no. Well, you can sue anybody, but I don't think you're going to have a leg to stand on, because you typically, when you fill out forms, mark on the subscription agreement that this is what I'm saying. So just go back to, again, diversification. Next is when you get involved, again, education. You know, read, listen, learn is what I like to preach. When I got started, I was listening to podcasts, and it was around the holidays, and I was listening to one person start rambling off all these names that he was thanking. So I slowed it down to like half speed and just started writing all these people's names down, and I didn't know anybody or nothing. And then I started researching those people, and then I got on the phone with them. And, you know, it's networking. Those five people each gave me two people to talk with. Next thing you know, I'm talking to 20 people. And just kept expanding and growing and getting to know who the players are. And as part of that education, don't think you know it all, because you don't. But also, don't approach it as what's in it for me. Trying to figure out if there's ways to help others. Nothing burns me more than somebody just wants to use me for my information. And I can tell right off the bat, this person just wants to pick my brain and buy an free hour of my time. Don't be that guy. Don't be that person. So you start educating yourself. You're reading, you're listening, you're learning. Now, it took me, I did about 6 months of that before I started really investing, because you need to set your investment goal. You know, is it cash flow versus long-term growth? What are you targeting? You know, what are you looking for, cash flow or that growth? In note investing, it's typically cash flow. So understand that cash flow, what it's, the strategy is going to be. You know, if you start making money, are you reinvesting it or what are you using for? Because that's important. Now, depending on how active or passive you want to be, choose your investment route, performing or non-performing. Non-performing is a lot more work. It's conflict-oriented business. The returns could be greater. The losses could be greater. Performing loans typically have less risk. So the returns and the risk profile, you know, correlate to that. Lastly, I will say work with trusted people platforms. Again, I'll go back, share a story of, saw a forum post the other day where somebody made a comment of about some education and training. And then people made comments in the group about, you know, hey, be careful because person's reputation isn't the greatest. And, you know, person asks, well, yeah, but they have all these followers and videos on YouTube. Like, yeah, so being a great marketer doesn't mean you're a great investor. They're two very different things. So I will tell you, it is a very small business. And if you associate yourself with the wrong people, you will have that scarlet letter. There's people I will not sell to or even take bids from because I know who they're affiliated with and I don't trust them. You know, and that's part of this whole due diligence process of not only as you get involved in this, you know, due diligence is so key about, you know, we call it the three P's, the person, the property, and the predicament, but also understanding who you're working with or even get into buying an asset. Important to know who you work with. Now, this wouldn't be me speaking if I also did not talk about the risks to consider. And I'm a big proponent of note investing, but I'm also a realist and am not the marketing guru salesperson who slicks back his hair and only tells you all the great things. There's a lot of risk involved in any type of investing. Anybody ever tells you guaranteed or throws out these ridiculous returns, especially in note investing, if anyone's promising you 15, 20, 25% returns, it ain't happening. Maybe on a non-performing fund where they're splitting profits with you, you can, you know, you can get to the mid-teens. Now you could 5, 6, 7 years ago, that was achievable. Today it's compressed. But when I see funds out there sharing 18% on a performing note fund, I don't see it. Just point blank, I don't see it. So some of the risks, if you do get involved in note investing, liquidity. What do we mean by liquidity? You can't sell notes as quick as a stock. You know, it takes time. It's more traditional selling real estate. It takes time. Expect it to take 60 to 90 days to liquidity. If you're in a fund, understand that the fund might have hold periods. There's default risk. Borrowers may stop paying. So you got to plan for different exit strategies. This is where if property is underwater, meaning they owe more than what it's worth, that's a big risk. But if there's equity in the property and they default, you are feeling much better because if you do have to go the legal route, your loan is secured by that property. This is probably the most complex, which is regulations and compliance, staying compliant with state laws. And this is where it's challenging if you're a smaller investor buying 1, 2, 3 notes because the laws are constantly changing. You're moving states. For example, Maryland just came out with a court opinion that now basically tells you you have to get licensed. And if you're not buying 10 loans in that state, it's not worth getting licensed because of the cost. You're starting to see a lot more regulation and compliance. Now, change of administration, maybe some of that compliance and regulation maybe takes a back seat. But again, these are more state law issues, not federal government. And the states are starting to really focus on protecting homeowners, which I don't think is a bad thing. But understanding all those regulations and compliance takes time and cost. And is it something that I'd rather not have to deal with, and let me just go invest with somebody who deals with this and understands it, might be better off. Lastly, working with loan servicers. They handle the compliance, the collections, but understand they're not perfect. And you need to manage them, just like you need to manage attorneys. You can't just close your eyes and think that, turn a blind eye. You need to stay on top of them and manage them and make sure they're doing what you want. Because at the end of the day, it's your loan. They don't manage it for you. They just handle payment collections. Lastly, as we wrap up, I just want to talk about the returns and how they compare. I briefly touched upon this previously, you know, in regards to returns in the space, because I think there's a lot of, you know, window shopping out there in regards to you see an ad and it's got return, but it's like saying you can buy a BMW starting at, you know, $30,000. Got to read that fine print. So on a performing loan, if you're getting 8 to 12%, that is your range. Non-performing, yeah, you should target higher. And not really, and some people target 15, some 20, some 25. Now, it depends on, again, the higher the targeted return, the more challenging it could be. And as somebody who's newer in the space, if you're not buying $1 million at a time and you're buying a one-off, it's not that Costco discount. Realize that as well. So you're buying retail. So on performing, if you can get 8 to 12%, that's your range. Can you squeeze out another point or so on the back end? Of course you can, but that's where I'd be targeting. So when I mention this, you know, again, for example, our fund, we're between 8 and 11. So you can go do it yourself or you can look towards us and probably get very close to, or even might get better with us compared to doing it on your own. That's something that is completely up to you. And we get a lot of people who, after buying a loan or two, realize the amount of work and come back and say, let me give my money to somebody else because I don't have the time. I do that with stocks as an example. I try and sit there and, I want to go buy stocks and then realize I don't have the time for this. Let me have somebody else manage it. Now, how does that compare with other investments? Now, you being the lender on the bank, you typically don't have any leverage on the deal. So I view comparing to stocks, I think it's a little depends on the stock, but I view somewhat more secure because it's backed by real estate versus a product, but it's a hell of a lot less liquid. Just realize that it is not liquid. Rentals, you don't have the maintenance or worries, but what you have to worry about is value, damage, lower price. And this is where, again, with the note, you can pick and choose a note based on the LTV, whereas you can get the appreciation, you got the upside, the long-term play. So there's pluses and minuses. If you're looking at a note fund versus syndication, the syndication is probably going to provide higher returns on paper, but they're probably leveraged 65, 70%. We know what happened in the last few years, which has been problematic and is going to continue to be problematic over the next few years. I can't see how people buying properties at a 4 or 5 cap and having a 6% loan are going to make money over the next 3 to 5 years. In 10 years, of course, you're going to make money, but do you want your money tied up for 10 years? The other I'll mention is tax advantage. Depending on, notes is typically not, you don't have depreciation. Talk to your CPA about the taxes, but typically owning property because you get the depreciation has some slight advantages. But I see people just buying real estate because they're like, it's tax advantage, but you're not making money on it. Buy an investment that makes money. The tax component I view as secondary. It's a bonus if I get some depreciation or some upside, but that's not the primary reason I'm investing in something. It's because of the tax, unless you just made $1 million and you're like, I'm going to pay taxes and I can't 1031 it. Then go oil and gas or something, but still make sure it's a good investment. Some of these syndications that went belly up, people got 100% depreciation. They lost everything. Now they got to go back and pay the IRS back because there's too much depreciation taken. So understand that. So as we wrap up this episode, some of the key takeaways that I just want to highlight again is, we talked about what note investing is, why I love it. And for me, I think it's the flexibility of being able to do it anywhere, any place in time. You can go between performing and non-performing. It could be hands off or, dip your hands in the cookie jar. Most importantly, you can get started with a minimal amount of funds. And that is, I think, the hardest thing people have to grasp right now is real estate prices have shot up so high. If you want to be an investor and put 20% down, the average property is $400,000. $80,000 is a lot of money. And then you still need money in reserves just in case. With a note, again, you can get started $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So that, I think, gives so much more advantage over traditional real estate. So that is why I think note investing is a great passive investment opportunity in 2025. So thanks for listening. This episode of Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. And as always, I will catch you on the next one. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.